The Iowa men's basketball team falls on the road in double OT to a Penn State team that will probably finish in the bottom tier of the Big Ten. What does it mean for Iowa and its NCAA tournament chances? And we'll sit down with Deshaun Lee. We got Deshaun Lee on the phone, Iowa signee, or soon-to-be signee, I should say. He'll be signing his letter of intent tomorrow on National Signing Day number 2. We'll sit down with the three-star cornerback from Belleville, Michigan, and talk about his recruitment and what his commitment means for himself and for Iowa football. All that and much more coming up during week 188 of Brad's Branded Thoughts. This is from the Hawkeye of the Storm. Are you a Hawkeye fan living in Story County? Well, if you are, great. If not, we've still got you covered. Introducing From the Hawkeye of the Storm, your source for original Iowa content from the Eye of the Storm, the Hawkeye of the Storm, Ames, Iowa. That's right. Our Hawkeye platform, hosted by StoryCounty.news, strives to offer a unique perspective that you won't find anywhere else. Despite living amid the sea of red that is Cyclone Country, we make it our aim to entertain and inform Hawkeye fans everywhere. From live programming following an Iowa athletic event to our on-demand podcast, Brad's Branded Thoughts, which you can access through YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Amazon, and more, our goal is to always offer cutting-edge, black and gold content. In addition, catch our weekly college football picks throughout the season as you get prepped for the weekend ahead. And the great thing about all of our content is it's all free. Join us regularly here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm, and be sure to subscribe to our sister channel, Iowa Football at the Voice of College Football. That's Iowa Football at the Voice of College Football on YouTube, as we have teamed up with Mark Rogers and former Iowa football assistant coach Don Patterson to bring you live post-game shows after every Iowa football game. Watch, chat, and even call in to let your voice be heard each and every weekend this fall. Want to learn how you can further support us? Visit our video description on each and every YouTube video we publish. And then, of course, enjoy the content. It's From the Hawkeye of the Storm, hosted by StoryCounty.news, for the best Hawkeye content in the area. So the Iowa men falling in double OT to Penn State. First of all, before we get into it, I know we had a, if you want to listen to our hour and a half long postgame show, you can access that on YouTube here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm or through our podcast platform. So I'm not going to rehash everything about that game, but certainly disappointing because Iowa had an opportunity there in the first overtime. They were up by 3 with under 10 seconds to play. He gave up a 3 to Miles Dredd. Yes, it was traveling. Yes, it was traveling. Okay. Looked at it a couple more times. Probably traveled twice. But in the end, it wasn't called. Sometimes you can't expect that call in that situation. I recall a buzzer beat, and I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, but I recall 2014, somewhere in there, might have been 15. Vince Carter for the Mavs hit a game-winning 3 in the playoffs against the Spurs, where he clearly slid like 3 feet. It was a clear travel. The officials didn't call it. I get that this is college, and perhaps those traveling rules should be enforced a little bit stricter in those situations. But the fact of the matter it wasn't. That rule was not enforced well there at the end of the first overtime. And Iowa gave up a 3. It was not great defense. Keegan Murray, I'm not going to blame him, but Iowa, as Coach Close brought up on our show last night, was kind of over-aggressive all night, giving up easy drives. And as a result, when you give up easy drives, they give up 3s. And certainly Dredd was able to kind of juke right and come back left and get a good look and nailed it from the top of the arc. And, of course, they pulled away in the second overtime. I said going into the game yesterday, folks, that was a huge game for Iowa's tournament chances. And I'm not the only one who said that. That's no breaking news. But certainly Iowa needed to take care of its games against teams that were going to finish below them. You can't afford to lose to the likes of Penn State, Northwestern, Nebraska, and you could argue Maryland. So they did. They lose in double overtime. It's going to go down on the win-loss column as a loss. The tournament committee is going to look at it as a loss. I've said weeks ago that certainly who you beat is important. Who you lose to is important. Iowa right now has 2 quad one wins. As I'm recording this, they have 2 quad one wins. However, Utah State is on the threshold of becoming a quad two win, as is Indiana. Now, those teams could also move up and become more secure as far as quad one teams, but that's not a guarantee. And certainly quad victories quad one victories that's not the only criteria for the committee to select you. Certainly Joe Lunardi is high on Iowa. He's got Iowa as a 7th seed despite the loss to Penn State, which I thought was astounding. You look at Jerry Palm with CBS, he's got Iowa as a 12 seed. So the question is, does Iowa have a mark to hit to secure its spot in the tournament? I've been saying this entire conference season that the mark is 10-10. If they make it to 9-11, and Gary Close has brought that up as well, and I think I can speak for Gary in saying that I think he's in agreement with that. If Iowa's 9-11, it's likely they'll have to win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament. So you want to be in a situation, certainly with Iowa's struggles under Fran McCaffrey in that Big Ten tournament, you want to be in a position where you're not playing with a lot of pressure in mid-March in that Big Ten tournament. So I think 10-10 is the mark to meet. A lot of people down on Iowa after that loss last night, people thinking or assuming that they just will not make the tournament. Now, let's look at the schedule because, again, I'm confident, as I previewed in our introduction, I'm confident this team is still making the NCAA tournament, all right? Still making the NCAA tournament. Let's look at the schedule. And before we show the schedule, I want to make this clear. I have put a little check mark or an X next to the games that I guess as of right now I would predict as far as wins versus losses. You may disagree with some of these things. Certainly, I'm not guaranteeing they make the tournament, but I am confident they'll make the tournament. There's a difference, Michigan fans, Iowa fans. There is a difference. Iowa makes the tournament, but no guarantee. Let's look at the schedule. Certainly, this Thursday is going to be tough. It's a game where Iowa has a little bit more pressure to win because they lost Monday, but it's not a game I expect Iowa to win. If they lose this game, certainly that's a hit, right? They fall to 4-7. In the Big Ten Conference, if they do that, which means, you know, right now they're 4-6 in the conference, which means they have to win 6 of their last 10 games. All right, that's doable. It's difficult, but it's doable. This schedule's not murderer's row. So you get at Ohio State, assuming you fall down to 4-7. They need to beat Minnesota at home, right? No margin for error there. They need to win at Maryland. Now, it's a road game, but Iowa did win there last year. Maryland's not the team that they have been in the past. That's a game Iowa needs to win, and they need to beat Nebraska at home. They need to win 3 in a row, all right? Now, I've got them winning 4 in a row, okay, as of right now. That could change. I may change my pick on that Michigan game once we get to mid-February, depending on how the Wolverines are playing. But they've struggled this year with COVID issues and just performance. Assuming Iowa can figure out how to defend the big guy inside for Michigan, I think they can win that game. So that'd be 4 straight wins. That's going to be that is the stretch, folks, from February 6th to February 13th and maybe even the 17th. That might be the stretch that determines Iowa's fate in the tournament. Again, if you had asked me today, who am I picking? As you see by my check marks there, I'm picking Iowa against Minnesota, Iowa against Maryland, Iowa against Nebraska, and Iowa against Michigan. Of course, they've already beaten Minnesota and Maryland once. Now they got to do it again. Certainly, the Michigan State game is going to be difficult, but it is in Iowa City. Okay, it is in Iowa City. At Nebraska is a game you got to win. You got to sweep Nebraska, no question about it, and you need to beat Northwestern at home. If you do that, you can play footloose and fancy free, I think, those last two games, because you will be sitting at 10-8 heading into the game in Ann Arbor. So again, I think the pathway is there for Iowa. As you see from this graphic, that would be for Iowa's final 10 games, it would be a record of 6-4, which would get them to 10-10 on the season. And you could argue there's not any marquee wins in there. They can still make the tournament, folks, without any marquee wins. Now, do you want to be in that position? Certainly not. I'd much rather win this Thursday at Ohio State and lose at home to Michigan. Because right now they don't have the strength of victory. They're going to have some losses in there. Penn State's a loss they lost that game fair and square on the road. You know, you lose against Rutgers on the road. Probably not a great loss, but again, is any loss in the Big Ten, especially on the road, a bad one? I don't think so. I think the value they would get from beating an Ohio State this Thursday would outweigh a loss to a Michigan at home. But again, here's the pathway to the tournament for Iowa, and I believe Iowa will get there. Certainly, this could jumble around a bit, but this is assuming Iowa doesn't knock anybody off that they're not supposed to, okay? If you win at Ohio State, or you win at home against Michigan State, or you steal one of those last two games on the road against Michigan or Illinois, then we're having a whole different conversation, and they have room for error. But the fact of the matter is, I am not predicting a victory Thursday. which means those next 3 to 4 games are absolutely consequential, huge for Iowa's fate this year. And they've got to find a way to get hot during the month of February. So people won't be saying Fran fate if they do that. And certainly Iowa has a schedule, I think, one of the more favorable schedules in the Big Ten. They got to take advantage of it for a team that right now is struggling on both ends at times. But, you know, they were one play away from winning last night. So they're finding a way to stay close in games, even the games they've lost. Again, Rutgers, Penn State, Purdue, they were overmatched, but they came back. This is a team that's still got a lot of firepower. Keegan Murray is going to, I think he'll figure out his fouling issues. I would hope he would. He's getting tired of sitting on the bench. I don't know what you're going to get out of Bohannon. Don't know what you're going to get out of Filip Hrabacic because he's up and down. They need consistency right now. And then, of course, we're awaiting a diagnosis on Connor McCaffrey. I know he's got a separated shoulder, but how long will he be out? That's all up in the air at this point. So, Thursday, we'll be back with you live for our postgame show with Coach Gary Close right here from the Hawkeye of the Storm on YouTube. But just remember, folks, all hope is not lost. I'm still predicting Iowa makes the tournament without a ton of pressure to perform in the Big Ten tournament. And even if they go 9-11 or 8-12, you don't want that, but even if that were to happen, you have a pathway still without winning the Big Ten tournament. I think if you go 8-12, you probably get to the weekend, probably the finals is what you'll need there. Iowa could probably still get in, especially if you're going judging based upon how Joe Lunardi sees Iowa, who, you know, he's been doing these bracketology picks for a long time. But again, 9-11 is probably where you want to be at the minimum. Certainly 10-10, I think, gets you comfortably in. All right. Let's move to signing day. Signing day number 2, you could say. Of course, February 2nd. We were recording this on February 1st, one day before National Signing Day for college football. Of course, the new early signing day signing period has become kind of the signing day, if you will, and most players signing back in December. And, of course, we gave you some live coverage that day. We'll be with you live tomorrow right here from the Hawkeye of the Storm on YouTube. At 3 p.m. Central Time, Wednesday, February 2nd, to cover signing day. As of right now, Iowa has just one player signing, and that is 3-star Belleville, Michigan cornerback Deshaun Lee. And if you missed my breakdown or my reaction to his commitment over the weekend, check it out. I'll link it. I'll throw the link up in the description below this video so you can click on that link and watch my breakdown of his commitment. Of course, had other offers like Kentucky, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, but a good grab for Iowa, and certainly Phil Parker, you can put your trust in Phil to identify cornerbacks. He's a guy with good hands, good athleticism, as we bring out in our interview with him, and certainly something that is positive. Iowa fans are kind of up in the air about what signing day was going to look like before Sunday, so at least you get Deshaun Lee, perhaps another commitment or two, another signee or two, but we shall wait and see. So, let's throw it over to our interview with Deshaun Lee. We spoke with him yesterday over the phone. Let's talk to Deshaun and get a reaction to his big, big announcement. Pleased to be joined by Iowa 2022 cornerback commit and soon-to-be signee, Deshaun Lee, one day removed from his big announcement. And I believe we have Deshaun on the phone here. Deshaun, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes,
it's good to talk to you. How you feeling just, about 24 hours removed from one of the biggest announcements in your life?
You know, it's just a blessing and a lot of stress being built up coming towards the second signing day, you know, and just committing. It's just a stress relief.
Absolutely.
So I'm feeling great.
So it's more of a weight off your shoulders. I hope you're excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited, especially being down in Iowa City this weekend. It's very exciting. So,
yeah. So talk a little bit, inform our listeners. I mean, I there wasn't a ton of publicity unless I missed it. And I don't know, on the Iowa beat, so maybe I missed it. But there wasn't a ton of talk about you being on campus. That was that kind of kept on the down low, or?
I wouldn't necessarily say the down low, but it was just more of a personal connection thing with me and Coach Parker and the rest of the staff and Coach Friends. It was just more of a personal thing. It wasn't about the publicity or nothing like that. We were just trying to get to know each other as people instead of the football aspect. So
tell us about Phil Parker.
He's a great guy, very honest, very genuine, and it's just he have a great resume, so it's great having the opportunity to get coached by him. So it's just a great feeling, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So that kind of leads in leads into my next question here. So obviously, Phil Parker, you talk to cornerback recruits or even corners who have moved on to the next level, or safeties for that matter, who have moved on to the next level. Right. They look back and they say Phil Parker was such a huge part of my development and my decision-making process coming out of high school. So how big was Phil Parker specifically as it relates to your decision to come here?
It plays a big part in my decision because it's who I'll be coached by for the next couple years and who's going to develop me. So it plays a big decision.
Now, you and I both know that the trend now with early signing day in December is to sign early. Iowa, of course, signing, I believe, 17 athletes this past December. What caused you to wait?
Really, because I kind of got recruited late by Iowa, and I didn't want to rush into the process or nothing like that. And a lot of I was getting a lot of interest late in my like later towards the signing day, so I didn't want to rush anything. So I was letting everything play out, and I was just weighing out my options and building more personal bonds with the coaches.
Absolutely, and we're sure glad you were willing to wait. I know you had a number of other offers. I know Kentucky at one time offered, Pittsburgh was in on you, I believe, as well, and Syracuse. Yeah. So I promise to the people who see the orange banner here, that's not Syracuse's colors. Those are Deshaun's high school colors at Belleville. So was there ever a top five or a top three schools? Again, it doesn't seem like you're really into the fanfare of it all.
Yeah, but not really.
What were the final couple of options, I guess? Was it always Iowa?
I mean, Iowa been one of my favorite teams since I was little, but they wasn't really recruiting me that much. So I didn't really have a top five or anything like that. I was just talking to coaches. It wasn't really like a top five or nothing like that.
And so you kind of just been hanging out waiting for that offer, and you were able to get it. And so congratulations, certainly well earned. And so certainly Belleville High School, I mean, you talk about your experience there, because that school gave you a lot. I'm sure you've given a lot in return.
Yeah, Belleville is a great school, and Coach Crow is a great coach. Like, I can't see myself nowhere else besides Belleville. It was a great experience, and losing 3 years in a row since I was a freshman, and then finally winning the state championship as a senior, it meant a lot to me. Starting off at Belleville and finishing there. So Belleville, I just love Belleville, and it's a great city. The support is crazy here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about you personally? I mean, we all care about you as a football player, but obviously you as a person is much more important. So did you grow up in Michigan?
Yeah, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
It's about like 30 minutes from Belleville.
And so you're not going to be fazed by the cold weather. Right?
No, I'm used to this my whole life.
We had a conversation with TJ Hall here a few weeks ago, and one of the things that TJ was talking about is just the adjustment for him, because of course he's coming from Fresno, California.
Right.
And so, you know, did that ever come into your decision making? Did you ever think, man, if I go to Kentucky, at least I'll be able to play somewhere where it's warmer?
No, not really. I really play anywhere, any type of weather, coming from cold weather. So the good thing about playing in the Midwest, you play in hot weather and cold weather. You get the best of both worlds instead of going somewhere where it's only hot, you know. But I really don't have a problem with playing in weather conditions.
And if I recall, I could be wrong on this, but if I recall, it might have been 2013. It might have been 11. I'm getting my years mixed up. But I believe Iowa set a record at Kinnick Stadium for the hottest game on record at Kinnick. And in the same season, they set a record for the coldest game on record.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, I remember in September, early September, they were handing out, I believe, free waters, which, as you know, you go to a college football game, that's pretty rare. They were handing out free water, and then it was like 0 degrees against Michigan in November. So, yeah, you get the best of both worlds, or the worst of both worlds, if you want to look at it that way. Okay, so let's talk about your strengths. Now, again, as I always give a disclaimer, and I did a short little video yesterday just in quick reaction to your commitment. I always give this disclaimer that, you know, I don't have access to all the game film that, of course, Phil Parker and the collegiate coaches across the country who are evaluating you are looking at. But just reading between the lines and what I saw on tape from you, Deshaun, I see a really good athlete with great hands. And I know that's kind of maybe selling you even shorter than what you deserve. But can you talk about your strengths? Are those accurate?
Yeah, those accurate, most definitely. I feel like another strength I have is speed, you know, to be able to check the quick and shifty receivers. But I also have, I'm also aggressive and I use my physicality with the bigger receivers. So I feel like those are some of my strengths.
And you have played, my understanding is you've played a lot of wide receiver growing up, correct?
Yeah, I've always been an offensive guy until I got to high school. So I always had the natural ability to play running back and receiver.
So I guess my question is there any question that you will, I mean, obviously things change, but
right.
are you completely locked in on being a defensive back? Has Iowa talked to you about potentially using you offensively, or is it just on defense at this point?
No, I haven't really gotten no offensive talk, but at the end of the day, if I do get switched to offense, I'll do whatever to help the team, you know, but I'm going to play a cornerback.
Absolutely. All right. This is a tougher question sometimes when I ask student athletes this question. Weaknesses. Now you got to be honest with us here. What you've gotten your offer. You're committed. You're going to be signing here, I'm assuming, in a couple of days. So what would you say your weaknesses are, or the things that you really need to work on once you get to campus this coming fall?
Actually, that's a great question. That's something I have to think about for a couple seconds.
All right. Well, how about let's come back to it. Let's come back to it. I'll give you some time to think about it, because it is it's an intriguing one, and certainly Iowa will help you kind of shore up those weaknesses, whatever they may be.
Definitely.
So what do you like to do off the field?
Actually, me and my friends like to bowl. We're pretty good at bowling.
Really?
Yeah, so I like to bowl, and I play video games sometimes from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you an outdoorsman?
I mean, I'm really of a home type person.
Okay.
I do go places sometimes, but I'd rather be at home, you know.
Okay. Talk about your family a little bit. Who's really helped you along this journey? I mean, is there someone in particular that's just been by your side from day one? A friend that's really taken you under their wing? I mean, who's been the biggest influencers in your life?
Most definitely my mama. Most definitely. Big shout out to my mama. But my uncle, and I really got a big support system when it comes to family. Like, my family really root for me, and they support me to the fullest. So really my whole family. I couldn't even single a person out, but really my whole family, and I love them for that. They support me real heavy. So,
absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome to hear. Okay, let's look at the current defensive back group, if you will. Now, this is not complete. Obviously, I'm missing some names. But Riley Moss, of course, you know who Riley is, coming back as the Big Ten defensive back of the year. Kayvon Merriweather. I think Merriweather, didn't he play at Belleville?
Yeah, he did. He left my freshman year, so I didn't get to play with him, but. Yeah.
Okay. Have you talked to Kayvon? Are you close to him?
Actually, on a visit, that was my host, so I was with him most of the time.
Okay. And so, again, just led by those two guys, and then, of course, Xavier Wampa will be coming in, Orlando Trader, Terry Roberts, Jamari Harris, Conan Tringer, you know, TJ Hall's not on this list. What do you think about this room, and are you close to anybody in the Iowa defensive backfield, or just anybody on the roster?
Brent Hoss, that's what we call Brandon. He went to Belleville too. I'm pretty close with him. Cohen, I know him. I talked to him a couple times, and then Xavier, and then TJ Ward. I saw them when I was just there this weekend, and they're pretty cool too. So, yeah.
So Matt Hankins, of course, is moving on, but he kind of copyrighted the nickname the Doughboys. are you aiming to live on that legacy?
That's what the team's doing. Yeah, I love to live up to that name.
We don't got no turnover chains here in Iowa. That's a Miami thing. So you'll have to live with the Doughboys. So goals, obviously, one of your major goals, I'd have to think, I hope I'm not jumping the gun on this, but I'd have to think it was to be able to play at the Division One level. And not only are you going to be fulfilling that, you're going to be playing at the FBS level. Not only are you going to be fulfilling that, you're going to be playing in the Power Five and in the Big Ten. So what other goals are on your horizon?
Really just learn and develop and get an education. It's a lot of things that I really want to reach, a lot of places that I really want to reach. I really want to just get developed and things like that. And, of course, a championship on both levels.
Absolutely. Did you grow up a Michigan fan? I know you said you were an Iowa fan, but did you grow up liking Michigan or Michigan State?
Yeah, I actually grew up liking Michigan State when I was real little, and I always liked Iowa too and Alabama. So that was really my main teams that I liked growing up.
Okay, and if you don't mind me asking, what part of Detroit were you from?
Like what you mean?
Like were you in the inner city? Were you in
the area? Inner city.
Okay, and yeah. So what? How old were you when you moved to Belleville?
Actually, I don't live in Belleville. I live like 15 minutes from Belleville.
Okay.
Right down the road, really, in this city called Canton. But okay. I just moved here last year.
Well, these colors that we have on our banner here, kind of, since we're gonna air part of this tomorrow and moving forward, but the Cincinnati Bengals kind of are kind of the cool story right now in just football in general. What do you think about? I mean, I hope you're not a Lions fan. I don't mean that to insult the Lions.
I've been stopped rocking with the Lions. I grew up. I mean, I was never really a Lions fan. I like Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I wasn't really a fan. I've probably been to a couple Lions games, but.
Okay. Yeah. So did you have another team in the NFL that you really took to?
As of right now, I hope the Bengals win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, it's just a great story. And a lot of young guys who are proving doubters wrong. And that kind of leads me into kind of my final question for you. So there's always going to be doubters, people that don't believe in you. Really? I don't know if you had those growing up. There's going to be people like that. I mean, especially with the era of social media.
Right.
What is the feeling as far as how do you approach doubters? Do you just ignore them? Do you use it as motivation? Yeah. How do you compartmentalize that?
Yeah, I use both of them strategies. I ignore them. I don't really pay attention to the doubters, really. I really don't pay attention to it. I see it and I hear it, and I just use that as motivation to prove them wrong and show them what I really can do. So, because being a 5'11 DB, you don't really get looked at it like that. So I appreciate Coach Parker for believing in me and letting me be on the team.
I said the same thing to Iowa 22 signee Addison Estringa, who is a Wisconsin guy and he'll be playing tight end here, we assume. I just asked him about, you know, the fact that he wasn't recruited by a ton of high major schools. Now you have we brought up Pitt and Kentucky and some, yeah, you know, high major offers, but I would have to think for a guy like Addison playing at Iowa as a tight end is a dream come true. And I could argue the same thing for a defensive back. So,
right.
I mean, what's it feel like to know that in a couple of days you're going to officially be an Iowa Hawkeye defensive back?
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's going to be a blessing, really. Like, I just thank God for this opportunity. It's really a blessing and a dream come true, because I've been dreaming of this since I was little, and now it's coming reality. So it's just a blessing.
What did you think of Iowa City when you were there?
It was nice. It was nice. You don't really hear too much about Iowa City, but it actually was nice. So,
it's a nice college town, though. It's
most definitely a nice college town.
Absolutely. Are you a fan of a certain type of food?
Not really. Not really. I eat all types of food. I tried new food when I was in Iowa.
Okay. Yeah. You'll get your favorites, and I won't put a plug in front of them here on the air. But well, we look forward to. I'm assuming Wednesday's your day to sign, correct?
Yep, Wednesday.
And so are you holding a ceremony privately at your high school, anything like that?
Yeah, at our high school, everybody on the team signed, who didn't sign the first time, going to be there and sign, and all the family and community can come out and watch us.
Well, Deshaun, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, and we look forward to you getting here in the summer, late summer?
Yep, summer.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, again, congratulations on being a Hawkeye. We look forward to seeing you in the black and gold this fall, and safe travels to Iowa City.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
Just another great kid, it sounds like. I mean, Deshaun, very well-spoken, very very kind, just like Aaron Graves and Caden Crawford and every prospect we've had the opportunity to talk to. So it seems like a very high-character 2022 class, and certainly Kirk Ferentz and this staff have prided itself over the years on, you know, valuing character, right? Kids who are going to take it seriously on and off the field, and certainly it seems like Iowa has yet another young man who is ready to make his mark on Iowa City and the University of Iowa in Deshaun Lee. And again, ratings don't mean anything when you're talking about defensive backs at Iowa. Kind of like tight end, just don't mean anything. So, boy, with T.J. Hall and Alondro Trader and Conan Tringer, and, I mean, you go down the list, Xavier Wampa, you get back Riley Moss, you get back Terry Roberts, Jamari Harris, Kayvon Merriweather, Sebastian Castro, Quinn Schulte, they're loaded in the defensive backfield. They are loaded. And then, of course, Diaz Fernandez, another guy who is a young prospect who's going to have another spring under his belt. So it's going to be an interesting battle this spring, no question about it. Now, again, a lot of these guys won't get here till later, but T.J. Hall has enrolled early. Xavier Wampa has enrolled early. Of course, Brian Allen also enrolled early. They'll get a new kicker. Drew Stevens will be coming in as well. Certainly a lot of movement this spring, and of course even more once you get guys like Deshaun Lee on campus this summer. But again, congratulations to Deshaun Lee, and I love hearing him say how much his mom means to him, and it's just great to hear and great to see him fulfill his dream of not only playing Division I football, but playing football at the Big Ten level and at the University of Iowa. So we look forward to seeing him during a signing day ceremony tomorrow, Wednesday, February 2nd. Of course, we'll break it all down for you right here from the Hawkeye of the Storm. Appreciate you listening to week 188 of the podcast here at From the Hawkeye of the Storm. We'll talk to you tomorrow during a live edition of our show. And of course, Thursday night after Iowa, Ohio State, we'll be joined by Coach Gary Close to break it all down for you.